May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, hello all. I had to introduce myself to the 8 o'clock service, but I think more folks here know me. But if you don't, I'm Peter. I'm very happy to be here. This was an exciting week for our family. We had a wonderful occasion. My son got married, which puts me in a whole new phase of life. I actually got to tell my daughter-in-law that I loved her, which is that's a new thing. It's a lot easier to say than my son's fiance. So I'm happy for the step they took. It makes it easier on me. That is all. I'll try not to make it all about me. But it was a wonderful occasion. I mean, it was a small, intimate, very, very quiet occasion. Just the family involved, and we were very happy about that. But you want to know, one of the things that I love about being in a church that's structured like the Episcopal Church, like the Anglican Communion is that the sacrament of the word around the liturgical year is centered around occasions. And the Bible reading is closely linked to the occasion, such as today, when we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. The gospel reading, which is, well, of course, the story of the baptism of Jesus by John, is one of the few occasions that's actually referenced in all four gospels. We all know that there's the three that always seem very similar, and then John always seems kind of out there, but this is actually referenced in all four of them. Of course, John's reference is a little more obscure. It's more John the Baptist recollecting what he saw and telling everyone, that's the guy, because I saw this happen. But that's the way John tends to be, a little more obscure, trying to get us to get behind, let the reader understand, which is a quote from John. Now, the narrative is a lot clearer in the three synoptic gospels. Synoptic are the three that seem to be more similar to each other. Those are the ones we rotate through in the lectionary. So year A, we read Matthew's gospel. In year B, we read Mark's. And this year, year C, we're reading Luke. And so this week, the first Sunday after Epiphany, in the previous years, we read Matthew's version of the story, then Mark's version, and this year we're reading Luke's version. Each version is slightly different, and I want to point out a little bit about that, because they each have a different purpose in telling this story of Jesus. One example of the differences that we see in Matthew and Mark is that they say the Spirit came down immediately as Jesus came out of the water. There's this straightway in some translations. It's almost like there's no time for Jesus to open his eyes and see it. He comes out and everyone watches as he comes out of the water and the Holy Spirit comes down to meet him before he takes a breath. But Luke's version is less emphatic. He doesn't use that immediately. In fact, even when it comes to baptism, he uses passive language. When Jesus had been baptized and was praying. Mark and Matthew seem to make the scene look more like a sign to those who were watching. All right? And John explicitly said this is a sign for John the Baptist. Luke, however, almost passes over the action of the event of the baptism and focuses on the communion with God in prayer that Jesus was having after the event. Well, let's talk a little bit about the baptism of Jesus, because people often will ask the question, why did Jesus have to get baptized? After all, he was sinless, right? And baptism is for repentance and forgiveness of sins. Now, you might hear a few answers. There are some people who read Matthew's gospel, and Matthew makes it very plain in this. This is to fulfill all righteousness. So they read in this kind of vicarious, well, Jesus did this so that he didn't sin, he did all the right things, and he did that for in our place, right? That has its merits, especially since Matthew almost says it directly, but that's actually not what I want to talk about today. Most Christians, though, when we see the baptism of the Lord, they will say it's an example. It's a do as I do. That Jesus was baptized so that we could say, oh, that's what we're supposed to do. It's almost performative in the way it's interpreted there. Like, he didn't really need to be baptized, but he did it just to show us some things. Like, here you go, you should do this too. And in addition to showing that, the folks at the scene were shown, this is the Son of God. here's the Holy Spirit, here's a voice from heaven, this is my son, right? And that seems very much like a vision for those of us looking in and saying, ah, here's how it's done, and you get approval for doing it that way, and it's all about the do-do. But I wanted to say that Luke's may have a different point. I'm not denying that Jesus' baptism is an example to us of what we should do. It absolutely is, and I'll lean a little into that some later on the sermon. Matthew, Mark, and John are definitely still Gospels, right? And so they have their perspectives and things they are teaching us and we can learn. All I'm saying is that in Luke's version, the story is told differently. In the Gospel reading from Luke, the context seems more intimate than the scene in Matthew and Mark. We see it's after the baptism. We see that Jesus is praying and he receives an affirmation from God. You are my son, the beloved. In you, I am well pleased. It's almost as though the Holy Spirit comes to Jesus to remind him of who he is, how loved he is, and how what he has done is pleasing to God. It seems more like a quiet moment between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Speaking of Father, Son, and Spirit, yes, I do want to point out, as many people do, this is one of the few places in Scripture where you see all three persons of the Trinity. And so it's an affirmation in that way of the deity of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all in one place. And yes, there is that affirmation, that vision of the Godhead, the triune Godhead. But let's not forget that Jesus has two natures. One person, two natures. That's a old doctrine of the church going back 2,000 years, right? He is fully God. He is part of that Trinity. He's also fully human. The story of Jesus' baptism is as much an affirmation of his humanity and his human needs and his commonality with us as it is his divine place in the Trinity. He knows human struggle, human need, and a human desire to commune with God. And especially here in Luke, where Jesus prays and receives this affirmation from heaven, we see that true. In the words that he hears, they're actually a quote that Jesus would have known. In the psalm, in Psalm 2, this is an allusion to the humanity, actually, of somebody. The "you are my son" is actually from a psalm that is a coronation psalm for the king of Israel, the human representative of God's authority. In Psalm 2, it's a coronation. You're going to become king of Israel. It was sung at the coronation of a new king, and God says to the king, "You are my son. And starting from this day, you are going to be my representative, my authority here." The other parts of what God says here are, "With you I am well pleased." And this is also a reference to a human anointed person, to a prophet who has been called by God. It's from Isaiah 43, verse 1, where one of these famous servant songs, this person who God has called to preach to the people, to bring them back to him in a prophet and priestly role, he is given this term, the one with whom I am well pleased. And of course, there is that "my beloved," which is in the middle there. It's a reference to that loving relationship that God has to his people. We even read it in our first reading from Isaiah. "I love you. You are my beloved." And so the words that Jesus hears from his Father are an affirmation of his very human mission. You are called to be that king, my representative. You are called to be that prophet for my people. And I love you. Talk about a baptism service. Could we imagine that? We tend to be very, very happy for our children as the priest says a blessing over them, right? Or if later in our life, if we were reaffirming our baptism, or we're baptized later in life, the priest said something, and well, what a wonderful thing. But could you imagine if God were giving the blessing himself? Wow, that's something I would enjoy. Now, apart from who gave the blessing, though, I would like you to notice that our experience and Jesus' experience were really very similar. That's why I think it's important in this event to hear about the humanity of Christ. It's not just do this because Jesus, who didn't really need to do it, did it too. It's not a go do this because it is Jesus, like us, needed to hear these words from Father. I'm not being heretical, by the way. Like us is something that is referred to in Hebrews chapter 4. When he says that the high priest understands all of our weaknesses and our needs. Our high priest, I posit, Jesus, needed to hear that baptismal blessing from his Father, just like we did. You are my chosen son, called to lead my people. You will do things that make me proud. I love you. Perhaps this is one reason why Jesus started his ministry with this. I'd like to come back to that example idea that I mentioned before. If we recognize the humanity of Jesus in baptism, it changes a little bit the example we take. Not just an example of do this because he did it, but an example that at his baptism, he received a promise and a blessing, and we do too. You are my chosen children. You make me proud when you do good. I love you. That puts the things we say in our baptism in a new light. We don't just renounce this and that in some weird ceremonial incantation, right? No, we renounce our attachment to this and that other thing because we open ourselves up to say to the Holy Spirit, yes, I'm yours. Tell me I'm yours. So he says, you're my chosen child. We don't promise to do this thing, that thing, and the other just because it's an obligation. No, we make promises to do those good things because we know with joy in our heart that he says, I'm very pleased with it. And we even say the creed not because we have to memorize something by rote or know something about. We say it because we want to know the person who has done all those things in the creed just to say, I love you. In the many things we could have talked about in the baptism of our Lord, the gospel writers gave us all that. Let's remember a little bit of what Luke's trying to ask us to say. What do you share with Christ? What do you need to hear from the Father? Do we need to hear, you are my chosen child? You make me proud. I love you. At his baptism, Jesus was comforted by those words, and we can be too when we remember and reaffirm our baptismal sacrament. But let's not stop just at being comforted. It would be enough, but there's more. We miss something that is also received at baptism, and that is the inspiration from this comfort that Jesus also received, that we too. When we read on, as we will in the next couple of weeks, we see this is where Jesus begins his ministry. He goes on to his first miracle at Cana, to his first sermon at Nazareth. These are what we're going to be reading in the next few weeks. And the loving words that God gave to Jesus inspire him to go out and do what he was called to do. Knowing that he was the Son of God, knowing that he was chosen for a mission, knowing that he was loved, and knowing that the Father was already proud of what he was going to do. He was empowered to go and help the hurting, to preach the kingdom, and to love the poor and downtrodden with his very life. And so are we. We know that Jesus said we will do works like his or even better. Transferring that same word he heard and saying, you hear this too, like me. We may be called to different tasks, of course. Maybe making sandwiches for the men's shelter. Maybe putting together care boxes. Maybe even working in a service industry. Or maybe just sitting down and listening to someone who feels like they don't have a voice. When we show love like that, when we do a task we are led to do, We know that at our baptism we have been told we are children of God called to these good things, and that it is a source of joy and pride to our Father in heaven who loves us. And so this year, as we read Luke's version of the baptism, let us remember how like us Jesus really is. How he wanted to hear those words from the Father, and we too, the affirmation of comfort and love. Jesus' baptism, like ours, gives us an opportunity to hear those words again. And let the words that Jesus heard, that we hear, inspire, as they did him, inspire us to do the good that we are called to do every day. You are my child, the beloved. In you I am well pleased.